Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson.
This week on Talk World Radio, we are talking about the media with Jeff Cohen, who is co-founder and policy director of RootsAction.org, where I work as well. He is a media critic, columnist, documentary filmmaker, retired journalism professor. Jeff Cohen founded the media watch group FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. For years, he was a regular pundit on CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, discussing issues of media and politics. And he is the author of Cable News Confidential, My Misadventures in Corporate Media. Jeff Cohen, welcome back to Talk World Radio.
Nice to be with you, David.
Thanks for everything you're doing. How is the corporate media doing lately, especially in terms of its coverage of war and peace?
Well, it seems to be getting worse and worse. I'm always asked by people who know me as a media critic, is this the lowest the media have ever been? And I find myself saying that over and over and over. And I said it when the war started in Ukraine, when Russia invaded. The media was so one-sided. I'm saying it today when we have this human catastrophe in Gaza, and on mainstream television news, they just show us the world through Israeli eyes. When Israeli hostages get free, we see them talking about another heartfelt reunion, another joyous reunion. But we don't see it when the prisoners, the women and the children get out of prison who are Palestinian. The mainstream media keeps wanting to, instead of this catastrophe that's going on and worsening day after day in Gaza, they keep wanting to focus on October 7th, as if history began that day and ended that day. So it really is... It's news media at its worst. The U.S. news media on issues like this are worse than in other Western countries. Part of it is because corporations dominate our media system, whereas in for example, European countries, there's powerful public broadcasting, which is often a little more balanced than what we have in our country. We have a revolving door in this country that I don't think is as bad. I've seen it pretty bad in England, in the UK, but not as bad on the continent of Europe, which is when people leave political realms and go into the corporate world, they are forever identified as experts on the basis of their official title. And that's bad in war and peace. It's bad on every issue. I'll give you a few examples, David, of if I can impart one thing to your audience, it's that when mainstream media, CBS, CNN, NPR, PBS, when they identify someone as a former government official, they are probably lying to you. Because more relevant to you might be, what are they doing now? What are their current employment or entanglements? I could give you classic examples from the past and then bring it up to the present. When the Chinese government massacred students at Tiananmen Square in 1989, the main voice apologizing for what the state of China had done was Henry Kissinger, always introduced as the former Secretary of State. He had left that job more than a dozen years prior, but he was forever in US media and on the op-ed pages he wrote for the op-ed columns he wrote for the biggest dailies. He was always former Secretary of State, period. You were not told, if you were a news consumer in by US mainstream media, that this apologist for the massacre of the students in Tiananmen Square was the head of China Ventures, which brought US and Western companies together in joint ventures with the Chinese State Bank. You could go up a few years in the 90s when healthcare was being discussed in the mainstream media. National Public Radio had one debate after another featuring a former Democratic congressman and a former Republican congress member. They were only identified that way as formers. They dismissed out of hand the possibility that we might have a nonprofit, single payer, Medicare for all type system. It's unworkable. It's not going to happen. That's what they told us. What NPR didn't tell its listeners, that both former Congress members, one a Democrat, one a Republican, were currently consultants or lobbyists for private healthcare corporations. David, do you think that might have been more relevant information to the listeners of NPR when these two former Congress members are dismissing nonprofit universal healthcare out of hand? It might have been relevant. And you could come up to today. You've got the people dominating the discussion of Israel-Palestine, introduced as formers, but they're currently part of the military-industrial complex, making huge amounts of money as lobbyists, consultants, board members of military-industrial companies. The one that I'm most interested in is West Exec Advisors. West Exec was founded by former Obama military officials, Tony Blinken, now the Secretary of State, and Michelle Flournoy, who almost became Biden's Secretary of Defense. And what you're seeing in discussion of Israel-Palestine is a parade of individuals who are from West Exec Advisors, which was a company set up to advise big corporations, especially military contractors. That's its job. Flournoy has pocketed millions of dollars at that job, and Blinken, before he became Biden's Secretary of State, was pocketing huge amounts of money at West Exec. So we had this weird situation where Jen Psaki, who was once the press secretary for Biden, now has a program on MSNBC. She's formerly with West Exec, interviewing a former CIA official, director John Brennan, who's currently at West Exec. And so you have a whole discussion happening within the bounds of this military consulting corporation known as West Exec Advisors, and the viewers of MSNBC have not a clue. And you could go to Beacon, Beacon Global Strategies, which is Panetta, is always on TV, and he is always identified by his former official government titles. Never that he's with Beacon Global Strategies, which is making money off of war. And the guy who's been dominating as a pundit, just praising the brilliance. One of the great moments in the American presidency was Joe Biden in the week or two after October 7th with regard to Israel, Palestine. And his name is Jeremy Bash. And he's only introduced as a former CIA spokesperson, former Defense Department spokesperson, never by his current title, where he's raking in big bucks, consulting for corporations that make all this money. I know, David, you know this one, which is a classic. General Barry McCaffrey. He is the NBC News top military analyst. He's always introduced just as former general. So after the US invades Iraq, he's sort of has an on-air orgasm about the US invasion, and he says, God bless the Abrams tank and the Bradley fighting vehicle. It's introduced only as a former general. You're not told on NBC News that he currently, at that time, sat on the board, still does, of major military contractors and consulting companies, including IDT, which pocketed millions and millions of dollars for its work on the Abrams and the Bradley. So it's this revolving door when, if I impart anything to your audience, David, when you hear someone introduced NPR, PBS, CNN, CBS, any of those channels as a former government official, and they're not telling you what their current title is, they are lying to you.
Jeff, I'm very curious. I was surprised by your opening statement that the corporate media has gotten worse. You've now run through a series of examples of malpractice that seem sort of the same over the decades. And I wasn't going to dare even ask that question. Have things gotten worse? I mean, it seems sort of obvious. They're cheering for an open, public, shameless genocide. How could it not have gotten worse? But every time I ask our friend and colleague and brilliant media analyst Norman Solomon that question, he tends to say things that the corporate media has always been exactly as bad as it is now. And so I wonder, how do you quantify it or describe it? Because I could make my own case, but I want to hear from you.
I'll give you one quantification. FAIR did a famous survey in the 1 week before and the 1 week after Colin Powell, Secretary of State at the time, went to the United Nations pushing for the world to Security Council to endorse the US UK invasion. They couldn't pull that off. But FAIR looked at all of the analysts who were allowed to speak in the 1 week before and the 1 week after that crucial Colin Powell speech. And they found there were 393 people that appeared on NBC Nightly News, CBS Evening News, ABC World News, or PBS NewsHour. And of those 393, there were a total of three anti-war voices. So it was less than 1%. I started watching the first weeks of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and I couldn't even find three out of 393. No one did a formal study, but as you know, David, I watched mainstream television, so you don't have to. I couldn't find a single dissenting voice. I couldn't find anyone after Russia invaded Ukraine who said, you know, US and NATO policy leading up to the Russian invasion, and we don't want to excuse the invasion, but maybe the US should have listened to groups like rootsaction.org, where David, you work and I work, that was saying in the months before the invasion, just announce that there'll be a moratorium on Ukraine joining NATO. That may, we're, we never, it's a hypothetical, that may have averted a war, a gruesome war that the Ukrainian people are suffering through. But there weren't dissenting voices. So in that period, like the first couple weeks of Russia invading Ukraine, I couldn't find three out of 393 that were offering a dissent. That maybe this has got to be negotiated and maybe we got to end this war as soon as it's begun. It just wasn't allowed to happen. All you heard was people, and they tended to be their current entanglements, even though they were former military or former secretaries of state, former defense officials, Department of Defense officials. They were never identified by what their current entanglements were. And so on that, comparing the a couple weeks of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the US invasion of Iraq, it seems to have gotten worse to me. It's always been bad, but it seems to, every time you think it's reached a low, in my view, it gets lower.
I think that Jeff Cohen, the job the media did on Ukraine in the early days after the Russian escalation of that war was the most powerful impact I've ever seen. Random strangers who 3 days before couldn't have found Ukraine on a map, accosting me on the street about the need to support the war effort in Ukraine. I mean, I'd never seen anything that powerful. And I think the media, in relative terms, has failed dramatically on Gaza in comparison. And obviously, the two events are different. And the media coverage is different, but how do you analyze the contrast there?
Yeah, you've raised an important point that the you could contrast Ukraine with Gaza or Ukraine with Iraq after the US-UK invaded. It's night and day. In my view, if media focused coverage of war on the hardship of the country being invaded or occupied, and the hardship to civilians and civilian infrastructure, war could be obliterated. War would be stopped. If the people of the world saw the impact of war, and there was one place where we saw the impact of war, and it blew me away because I had worked in the mainstream media in the beginnings of the US global war on terror and the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. When the Russians invaded, what was it, February of 2022, the main story was civilian casualties, civilian hardship. Women in Ukraine are giving birth in shelters. And bombs are dropping all around them as they're giving birth. It's what we always thought, those of us who believe in actual journalism as opposed to state propaganda, that in any war, civilians should be foregrounded. The country being attacked, invaded, occupied should be foregrounded. And in when Russia, an enemy state, invaded Ukraine for the first time in my recent, in that, period of years, we were seeing a civilian population foregrounded. And that's why those people that you talked to who couldn't find Ukraine on a map were so concerned about ending the war. Of course, they were propagandized that the way to end the war is to arm the war. The idea of, we need to end the war. Let's immediately, this thing has gone out of hand. It's February or March of 2022. We need to negotiate this thing. It's ridiculous. Let's end it. End the war through negotiation. And we almost had negotiations, which the US mainstream media didn't talk about, that the war almost could have been ended soon after Russia invaded the whole country of Ukraine. But that was, to me, I wrote a column comparing US coverage, US media coverage when the US is the invading country to US coverage of Ukraine when Russia was the invading country. The main difference was civilians. Civilians were foregrounded when the Russians were doing the killing, when the US was doing the killing, whether it was the invasion of Panama, where people living in tenements were baked alive in their sleep. And that was not allowed in mainstream media. You could read it in Canada. You could see it all over the world that the El Chorrillo, this poor neighborhood in Panama City, because of the US military invasion, There were just massive civilian casualties, but it wasn't allowed to be seen. When the US invaded Afghanistan, CNN had memos from management to every anchor, every reporter, every producer, basically saying, we want to sideline, marginalize any coverage of Afghan civilians killed by the US. And thankfully, those memos leaked out to the Washington Post. So the civilian contrast is, and again, with what's going on in Gaza, you've referred to it. Is it a genocide? Is it an ethnic cleansing? Is it mass murder on a scale almost unprecedented? The focus should be that. And yet I keep seeing the focus on October 7th, which was gruesome and heinous. And you and I condemned it the day it happened. But you know, when you see a news media harking back to October 7th, when the numbers, the murders are vastly bigger now and getting bigger every day, and they feel the need to shift the attention away from civilians, you can see that Ukraine was sort of an exception to the rule, the Ukrainian civilian coverage.
No question about it. And in Gaza, where you have 90% of people driven out of their homes, tens of thousands dead, tens of thousands injured, who countless people facing disease and starvation. And you have incidents like the recent one, where apparently the Israeli military accidentally killed three of the human beings who matter. Three. And the fact that they were unarmed and shirtless and waving a white flag, it wouldn't have even been a story at all if they hadn't turned out to be Israeli hostages. And then it becomes a story. How do people reporting that story explain to themselves that it wouldn't have been a story if they'd been the wrong kind of persons, like tens of thousands of others being slaughtered?
It's not happening in the U.S. mainstream media. It does in other countries. In the U.S. mainstream media, it kept that incident led the news in the last couple of days. Tragedy in Gaza. And I thought, gee, my ears perked up. I thought, you know, maybe we're going to have, and it was because of the three Israelis. That was the tragedy. I mean, we've seen this over and over every time Israel has, quote, mowed the lawn in Gaza. I mean, think about this. The United Nations, after Operation Protective Edge, that's when the Israelis did so much massacring of civilians in 2014 within Gaza. And according to the United Nations report, and they were trying to get it to the person, there was like 1,500 Palestinian civilians killed. A third of them were children. And on the Israeli side, there were seven civilians and about, I don't know, 68 Israeli soldiers. So it was a ratio of 20 to 1. If you look back at that coverage, you'd have no clue that the ratio was 20 to 1. And if you're just counting civilians, seven Israeli civilians died during the time of the attack on Gaza in 2014. Seven Israeli civilians from rockets.
The incredible thing, Jeff,
But
to
that's
me, is
200.
that
That's 200 to 1. Yeah.
the ratio is even greater if you look at U.S. casualties in Iraq or Afghanistan, and you can probably count on one hand the people who are aware of that.
No doubt about it. And I mean, take Afghanistan. I mentioned the CIA memo, the CNN memos that leaked, never supposed to get public, where management is, as soon as the war began, as soon as the US invaded Afghanistan, these memos were written about, you know, we have to marginalize. And if there ever is any mention of civilian casualties as a result of the US military, we have to remind people that this invasion is a response to 9/11. And the memo said it may, to their anchors and reporters, it may start sounding rote, but you have to do this each and every time. So that's how it began. And then the war ends in 2021, the US soldiers come out. And Lester Holt, who I worked with at MSNBC, he's no better, no worse than the rest of them. He's doing his, 20 years of war, America's longest war. And he gives one and only one figure. He says a war that cost 2,300 American lives. That was it. There, by conservative estimates, 70,000 Afghan civilians have died. And in 2019, the United Nations did a very important report where they were trying to sort out how many of the civilians are being killed by the Taliban and its allies, how many by the US NATO allies. And they found that because of the aerial bombardment, the US side was killing more civilians than the Taliban were. It's pretty disgusting that even when the war ends, you've still got, it's all about the US soldiers who have died, which is a puny number compared to the tens of thousands Afghan civilians.
The United States of America, it will invade your country, and then it will show you movies about how sad it made their soldiers. Jeff Cohen, we have about 2 minutes left. I appreciated your saying you watch this garbage so that we don't have to, but what do you recommend? Surely you don't recommend that people watch it. What do you recommend people do to inform themselves?
Yeah, it's a good question. By the way, you mentioned the movie. One of the most important movies about media criticism is called The Panama Deception. It's a documentary that won the best Oscar documentary the year it came out. It just shows you how the US media covered the US invasion of Panama and then what was really happening on the ground. What should your audience be looking at? Independent nonprofit media or independent small business media. That means progressivehub.net, commondreams.org, truthout.org, theintercept.com. We've had a boom in independent progressive media that covers war and peace from the perspective of those suffering and covers war and peace from the perspective, could this war be diplomatically ended? We've had this boom in the last 20 years. It's what I studied at Ithaca College when I was there for 10 years at the Park Center for Independent Media. We really have a lot of independent alternatives. And for the first time in US history, millions of people have access on a daily basis to independent media, non-corporate, non-conglomerated media. So
Very
there are a lot of alternatives out there. Your radio show, your program here is another great example.
wonderful news. We will have lots of links up at talkworldradio.org. We've been speaking with Jeff Cohen from rootsaction.org. Jeff, thank you very, very much for coming on Talk World Radio.
Thank you, David. Keep up the good work.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.